Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Enjoy being at events where we can talk to gardeners and really just get some stuff going. We had a blast. It was a lot of fun. Good talks, good programs, and as I say, next year looks even better. There are a couple of folks that I have talked about here in an indirect way, talking about what the Harris family was doing at the market, but I got to meet them. So Gladney and David were there, and I have to tell you, Gladney has given me a new mint to love. I do love mint anyway, but I didn't know this one. Candy mint, candy lime mint. It's really good. It's delightful. So when you all see them, they're from Water Valley, so you'll see them at the farmers markets in that area. Give them a hello for me and make sure that you see. Anybody that grows six or seven different kinds of mint knows the difference between mints and knows whether or not we want this one or we want that one. And I was really happy to get her recommendation. So thank you, Gladney. Thanks to everybody for that. This morning, the market is already up and rolling here in Tupelo. We're looking at some TV pictures, so if you're watching at supertalk.tv, you get to see everybody in the market, and you also get to see some really very cool pictures of potatoes growing. We've got some potato towers in this group of people that are just, they're not mine. I can't take credit for it, but I can tell you that they are spectacular. I guess today really ought to be National Potato Day, but it's not. It's not. One of the things that happens in this world is, and here's some harvested potatoes. Those are beautiful. This is the Saturday morning, of course, in Tupelo when people begin to have the opportunity to come out for 4 hours each Saturday and really find some beautiful things. I'm looking at the vendor map. My goodness, I think there's 35. I think that's how many I counted. It may be more than that by the time they actually get finished. But one of the things that we always talk about is what can you get at a farmer's market? We're going to talk to a couple of vendors this morning. I know we can get produce. We can get all kinds of delicious things to eat. And, of course, there's some pretty cool stuff, just handcrafted things and stuff you might not see someplace else, something that you might want to be interested in and something you can learn something about. That's really what the farmer's market's all about. It's an exchanging, it's an opportunity to exchange information, to buy things, and to see people with cute babies walking around with looks like carrot tops out the back, hanging out the back of her bag. So I love that. Yes, the Tupelo Market, as long as your dog's friendly and well-behaved and on a leash, I believe you can bring your dog. It looks like that today, and that's a really cool thing. I do appreciate so very much everybody being there. The Downtown Tupelo Main Street Association, of course, the mayor's office, everybody supports this market, and we're going to talk to folks from both of those entities as well today so that we can actually have an opportunity to catch up on what's going on and what's going to be going on. Everybody always likes to let you know about the plans that are coming forward for different things. I don't know if it's always this way, but it seems to me that the very first thing on your mind at the farmer's market is fruits and vegetables, and frankly, more vegetables, and then more plants, and then, of course, cut flowers, and then, of course, we're always looking at how do we pronounce this word? My word is, I've always been taught to pronounce it artisanal, but you'll see artisanal, artisal, you'll see all kinds of things. And there are ways of pronouncing it. But what it means is that it's done in small batches by a local person. And it's generally speaking, or I shouldn't say local, it has that vibe to it. And that's part of what we're celebrating today at the Tupelo Market. I'm happy to tell you that in addition to the pictures you're seeing in the TV section, they'll be from various gardens. There are a few of them, my plants, that are now blooming at Mark's house, and I'm happy to let you know that those are looking pretty, pretty good. He's done a beautiful job of saving my babies. Some of them are in bloom here, too. We talked about the Nancy Gale daylily, the suburban Nancy Gale, of course, bred in Hattiesburg at Suburban. And so much has gone into the promotion of that plant because it is absolutely unbeatable. You only want one daylily? Look for Suburban Nancy Gale. She will suit you. She will set off everything else and do a wonderful, wonderful job. Oh, and I thank you for that picture. I did forget one thing. That is that Lakeland Yard and Garden sponsored our event last week at the Magnolia Market, so I want to be sure to thank them as well. You can see I'm big on thank yous this week, but that's because if we're not grateful, what are we? Come on. If we're not happy that the sun beats down and ripens the tomatoes or in this case, the potatoes that we're seeing so many of, grow those plants and get some delicious things to eat out of it. But the flowers, oh my goodness, Vitex is blooming. I sent that one in today, and I know we'll see it along the way this morning. But the Vitex is just beautiful, and so many other things have just been lovely. The hydrangeas are all starting, just getting their first flowers budded up and open, and that's just really a delight. Today, for some reason, is a national plant a lemon tree day. So I figured somebody would run into that, and I ought to go ahead and give you a couple of tips. First of all, you don't want to grow a lemon in the ground in anything above zone 9, okay? Now, in zone 8B, it might survive, but it'll be knocked back, and then you'll have to let it regrow. You don't want it to do that. Even in 9A sometimes, depending on the exposure of the particular site that you're talking about, you may want to offer it the protection of a wall behind it, or a brick building, for example, is always a good buffer between a lemon tree and the north wind, even if you're in your backyard in zone 9A. So all of those things are true. Lemons are not hardy. And so I really do want you to give yourself the opportunity to make a place for a big container. Some of them will already have wheels on them, or you can get a roller coaster. That's not the sort that you're thinking of. It's a big coaster that a big pot can fit on that has wheels underneath it, okay? That's going to help you roll it around, not only inside, but also outside. So give yourself that opportunity if you want to grow a lemon tree, and then absolutely grow it. This is a beautiful time of year to have a lemon tree. It's when they're, usually you've got some fruit by now, and it's ripening. It does take several months to ripen. And so I hope that you'll help you put that in your pocket. If you want to grow a lemon, get a big pot first, enjoy it, and it'll bear lemons for you as long as you protect it from temperatures below about 40, 38 degrees, something like that. It will get set back even if it is not killed. So you don't want to do that. We've talked about this before, but it bears repeating. Most of the citrus that we purchase is going to be grown on a grafted stock. That means that the top of the plant is one plant and the roots are another. They've been grafted together. You can think of it as super glue, but it's the natural form of super glue. So when you graft things together, you get the opportunity to do a little bit more variety on top when you've still got hardy roots for whatever area you're in. So that's how we handle citrus for the most part. And that gives us the opportunity to do some things with it. For example, to grow it in a container where we couldn't do before. But if the top gets killed, if you have it outside and it sprouts from the bottom only, you're not going to get the same fruit. You're probably going to get a bunch of thorny mess, and that's not good. So that's the thing. One of the things that I'm tickled about, I know that we all worry about, I don't know, I guess we all worry about termites. If you live in a house, you kind of have to worry about termites. But this is really the time of year when they are swarming everywhere. And particularly if you have outdoor lighting, this is when you will see those notes to yourself to please turn the lights off because of the opportunity that the Formosan termites particularly have to swarm, and they will be attracted to the light, which puts them closer to your house than you want them to be. So give them an opportunity to go someplace else. This is a terrible joke. Don't tell your neighbors about this. Just make your house dark. No, that's not true. Tell your neighbors too. You don't need them in your neighborhood at all. But the termite swarms are one of the things that everyone is beginning to note because so many more people are having to deal with them. And it's not fun by any means at all. So turn your lights off at night and give them the opportunity to go someplace else, somewhere far, far away. Today is a lot of different oddball things. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, mosquitoes are not in that category. Mosquitoes, we're still talking about. I've had somebody ask me last week, do the mosquitoes swarm the way the termites do? The answer is no. They're more interested in the water that you left out for your cat, or in the wet pile of leaves that you've got that's still got some place for them to settle into. All those things are much more dangerous for you. So they use them, but they will use your lights to navigate from one place to another. That's how they fly, but that's a different quality of the mosquito world, which is different from the termite world. Oh my goodness, I hate to have to tell you, but it is true. It is in fact true. Today is Mimosa Day. I couldn't decide if that meant mimosa, like, you know, like drink at brunch kind of thing, orange juice and champagne, but I think it might be the Persian silk tree, our own mimosa trees. I do love mimosas. They're not the most long-lived tree. Not everybody likes them because they do have really fuzzy, you know, flower masses, and then they drop all of those seeds all over the place. But they're beautiful trees, and their seed pods are gorgeous, too. So give yourself the opportunity to enjoy them. You may or may not want to plant them. It might be one of those trees that you want to look at somebody else's house, and that's okay, too, because they are beautiful. But the Persian silk tree is one that most people appreciate. Some people are really loving the brighter red part of that family, but I'm kind of stuck on the pink. I really am. I believe that it's because I don't know. The pink is the one that you see everywhere because those seeds are extremely viable. And so they do form a seed pod that looks like a bean. And when we were kids, we collected those and used them to play bingo with because there were so many of them, which tells you there's a lot of seeds. And that's not necessarily something that you want in a tree, particularly in your front yard. But it's a beautiful tree, and it is one that will delight every year with that just absolute crown of pink flowers. They're really beautiful trees. I know they're considered messy. I know a lot of things that are fun are messy. That's true. I don't know that I'd make it the focal point of my front yard if I were planting trees today. I don't think I would do that. But I think that I could easily add it to the back corner, provide it as a focal point at another part of the garden, maybe not in the front yard. Okay. Let me see. I got so many things going on my screens over here. Let me see what else is over here. Oop, there we go. There's one. How many screens do we have? We have all the screens today. That's kind of nice. I appreciate y'all putting up with me. Nathan says it's a beautiful day, and I appreciate his word on that. I'm looking yesterday at a controversy. Maybe somebody else can enlighten us, the difference between wasan sauce and soy sauce. And I will add an XO sauce because all three of those are pretty tasty. See what we can find out about all of those things. I do have a couple of pieces of information that I think are going to be helpful. Interestingly enough, there are some really crazy plants. You know, we talked last week about the katydid that is able to live in the tropical area. She's pink until she turns green, which is basically the same point at which the plants around her are changing from their new growth pink-red to a green for the rest of the season, okay? So that plant has adapted to its circumstances, which in turn gives the insects a place to adapt to theirs. Well, oak trees are kind of having a similar situation, but it's more to their advantage this time. Interestingly enough, this is the time of year, of course, when caterpillars are falling out of oak trees. Some of them are the really nasty stinging caterpillars that you'll want to avoid at all costs. Other ones are just what I call opportunistic. They got their mother moth or butterfly laid the eggs there because she knew there'd be a nice tender green food source coming out of that tree pretty soon. So this is interestingly enough. When trees are attacked, oak trees are attacked by hungry caterpillars. I know, there's a book in there. They're triggered. The next year, they will actually delay their leaf growth by 3 days, which is how long it takes for the caterpillar to starve to death if it doesn't have a food source after it hatches. Well, is this brilliant? This is entirely brilliant, and it is, in fact, a natural thing. Long enough to leave them with nothing to eat, this little bitty shift in the behavior of the oak tree slashes insect survival, destroys their ability to eat the oak tree and damage it, and in turn, it actually is more efficient than if you were trying to spray these trees, which granted is pretty hard to do anyway. Now, there is another reaction among trees. They will develop a tannin, a nasty taste. If you've ever drunk red wine and didn't like it, it's probably the tannin in that that wine that you didn't care for. It has real sharp qualities, real strong qualities, and doesn't taste very well. Makes everything taste sharper. That's not what you're looking for. So neither are the caterpillars, apparently. But in some cases, the tannin will develop in leaves to further damage critters that are trying to predate on the tree. But the oak tree has beat them. This works faster. It works better. And I wish we could all learn how to do this. We could teach all of our plants how to do this. The next year, after the caterpillars attack 1 year, the next year, that's what happens. The next year, there are this 3 days before that tree is going to leaf out. I think that's just brilliant. And I'm particularly interested that it's oak trees, because we have so many oak trees in our part of the world. I wonder if they're showing this behavior. I don't know. I just don't know. Whatever you're doing in your garden today, I hope it's going to increase your, not only your happiness, but also maybe your appetite for flowers, for some vegetables, some herbs. I noticed the other day that I have my basil is doing beautifully, and I have a couple of oreganos that I didn't have before. They're both also doing pretty good. But I was really surprised that I've managed to hold the parsley. It has not bolted. Usually by this time, right around Mother's Day, I'll find that the parsley is starting to try to put on that center stem that is, fatal to the parsley plant, because after it blooms, of course, the plant has made seed, and as an annual plant, it believes that's the end of the road. So I'm hopeful that we have a little bit more opportunity to take a look at that kind of stuff. Got a question about on the text line today, advice about growing a fiddle-leaf fig. Best thing to tell you is that it does not like to be super wet. You can't let it dry out to nothing. But if you let it dry out, it begins, the leaves don't wither because they're so thick, but they will begin to pale a little bit. The tree also needs that good drainage. It needs to be watered straight through the pot at least once a month and give it that opportunity. Put it in a window where it gets reflected light, or under a porch. You don't want to put this plant in full sun, and give it the opportunity to take a space and move it a couple of feet one direction or the other, but you'll find a spot for it. Thank you so much for being with me today at the Tupelo Farmers Market. Turn your radio on. We'll be right back.
Radio on, some eternal morning we shall meet them over on the Hallelujah Show. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on
and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory share, glory share. Turn the lights down low.
Turn your lights down low
and listen to the Master's radio. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Here's Sammy the Shovel here to tell you to call before you dig.
A lot of homeowners are working hard to create a loving home. Whether it's expanding that crowded deck, maybe a swimming pool, good times start with these additions. And that's why we respectfully ask you to first call 811 and have your utilities properly marked before you dig. It saves you from injury and expense. It's the law, and it's just the right thing to do. So call 811 before you dig. Remember us for your next project. Just call 811.
You smell that? Spring. Hibernation's over. It's time to run it. Run it until the grass becomes long and the hedges duck and cover. Then, run it again. Steel. Get up to $50 off select AK battery tool sets. Offer valid for limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
We've sent that Rip Van.
Welcome to Tupelo. I'm so happy to be here today with the one and only, yep, great t-shirt, as always, Mayor Todd Jordan. Thank you so much. You know, I wear that shirt all the time.
Well, and this morning, I was lucky to sponsor the event this morning, and I pulled it out of the closet, and I'm like, hey.
There it was.
You know, representation, city of Tupelo.
That's it. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I had mine on a couple of weeks ago, and I tore it. So I got to fix it before I can put it back on again.
We'll send you another one. Don't worry about that.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you for being here with me today. We're doing a little bit of a virtual reality, and I kind of think that's sort of fun. I know that Tupelo's got so much going on, Mayor. Everybody knows about you. I hope they do anyway. Y'all, this guy's not only famous, but he has a reputation for being really nice. So those two things really work well together for a mayor. But, you know, let's face it, Mississippi State football quarterback, brilliant. All sorts of other things in the sports world that I'm not putting down because, you know, my daddy was a football coach. I'm just saying all of that has led to a good person who has learned how to set goals and make them happen. And you're looking at one of them. You're looking at the Tupelo market. So, Mayor Jordan, tell me a little bit about what's going on this year. It's so good to see you.
Gosh, I mean, if you look around, I mean, we have hundreds of people here this morning. I would put this venue up against any farmers market venue around the state of Mississippi, and I've seen several of them. It was a vision a couple of years ago that we made come true. And when you look at all age groups, young people with their kids or animals, all the diversity as far as things that you can buy here, it's really something that we thought about, had an idea, put into motion, and now we're reaping the rewards.
Well, I love how you say we, because it does take, I mean, certainly the mayor's office, certainly Main Street, a whole lot of other people being interested. Y'all have a great history of market to build on, but hardly anybody gets to put it together, bring that team around, and get a big new market built. That's really the accomplishment that I think every town in the state could pay attention to. It's not easy to pull all these parts together. So tell me what's going to happen next. What's going on with y'all?
Well, just talking about this venue right here, Garden Mama, I mean, it's kind of evolved into other things. I mean, we've had conferences come in and use it for music venues. Last night we had an event. We've had wedding receptions, wedding rehearsals, engagement parties. We actually have one tonight. And class reunions, it's kind of evolved into something that we were hoping it would. But just downtown, I mean, our downtown Main Street, our Convention Visitor Bureau does a great job. We have recently purchased the Tupelo Hardware Building. We'll be renovating that and securing the history of Elvis in that building. We will move the CVB offices over there. At that point, our wonderful building will be for sale, and hopefully something good will come. We can control that on what comes. And it's the first thing you see downtown. And, you know, we're working on some other things. And downtown Tupelo in general is just going to keep getting better.
It's so exciting to watch you work because you've always maintained, like, for example, this is a classic building that y'all are talking about. If anybody's never seen it, it's beautiful. And now you're going to have another building that someone else can come in and make part of after y'all get this first part done. So nothing ever really gets lost, I don't think, in Tupelo. Y'all are always building on what was there and on what you're looking at for the future.
Yeah, and it goes way back. It's just not this administration. It's Debbie Brangerberg, which was a downtown Main Street Association director for a long time. Her vision 30 years ago of what downtown could look like. So it's just been a combination and just an evolution of the leaders throughout the years that have seen something different than the previous administration. And I think we're continuing that as we move forward to things that we're doing downtown.
Well, and there are a lot of things that happen in a city that you have something to say about. And one of those things in Tupelo is always the Elvis festivals or the Elvis pay. Let's face it, it's not all at one week. Y'all got people coming there all year long every year to follow those footsteps and see what's happened and look at that home and all those kinds of things. Tupelo has really responded to that. I'll tell you the truth. I have gone to some towns, not in Mississippi, because Mississippi is the hospitality state, but in other places where you wondered if they even knew that a particular museum was there or that somebody had even been born there that you might have been going to see. Y'all have really embraced all of the visitors that you have, and I just think that's brilliant. It's a delightful thing to see. You can't look past the fact that he was famous, But it's also true that the people that are coming there are seeing a town they might want to move to, you know.
That's right. We
they might want to get here, you know.
You know, we get buses every Friday, visitors from all over the world coming through here. And we've got an exciting new venture coming up as our Chickasaw Heritage Center. It will rival the Elvis birthplace as far as visitors. Elvis had about $100,000 visitors last year. The Chickasaw Heritage Center will rival that, and it'll just be another way to show the history of what our area was, you know, years ago.
It's just so wonderful. It gives people a thing for them to build on, too, when they come there. Y'all, I'm just going to say this because he's sitting here and he doesn't blush too easily. You hear how the mayor of Tupelo is consistently saying, they, we, us. This is the person that I'm telling you. Everybody that you talk to about Todd Jordan will say, he is so nice. He is such a good guy. It's not that you don't have a backbone. It's not that you don't know what you're doing. It's that you understand how to make a team work, and that's really what shows at the market. It's just it's a beautiful place, but I got to tell you, there was a time back there a little while ago when there were a lot of things ripped up, tornadoed out, and you know, carried on. We think about those things, but y'all have new hotels, you have brilliant restaurants, y'all got more fast food places than any place you ever want to go. But on the other hand, you got a bus arriving every Friday, so that does give a certain incentive to it.
That's right, and we're fortunate because we have two major shopping areas in our city. One is downtown, and then one is the Barnes Crossing area. Target will be opening up in a few months. That's going to be a big boost to you know, our sales tax and economic development, and they will bring more once they get open. So
that's great.
You know, like I said earlier, Tupelo is just going to continue to get better.
That's just wonderful. We have so many fun things to do when you come to Tupelo. The local restaurants are A number one. There's no question about that. Those of us who are into thrift shopping really enjoy Tupelo too. There's always a yard sale, a house sale, all those kind of things, that sort of stuff. But y'all also have an awful lot of music. You know, the whole vibe of Tupelo is, come on over here, we're going to have a good time, we're going to get something good to eat, we're going to go, you may be eating Swiss chard and broccoli from the farmer's market, or you might be eating, you know, something whizzed up in a fancy restaurant someplace, but you're going to have a good time. There's no question about that.
That's right, and you can just about find music almost any night of the week here, whether it's at Barnes Crossing area, downtown, some of our local restaurants. They just bring one person in just to have a little music. And also here at the Depot, I mean, we get a lot of visitors here that will just rent it out to have a one-piece band here just to get out and enjoy the atmosphere and the course this time of year. Enjoy the weather, and this morning is perfect.
That's right,
also.
That's right. Well, and you all have a beautiful stage there. So, for example, if the wedding reception is there, you know, you can always make all the toasts from the stage, that sort of thing. It makes a lot of sense to bring people together, but y'all planned for that. This isn't the sort of stuff that just happens overnight. I don't even want to think about how many hours it takes to organize, even within getting ready just for today to open up. You know, y'all have lots of press, what is there, 40 vendors? I mean, it's amazing. It's beautiful.
It's full this year. Lucia and the Downtown Association does a great job. You know, volunteers. I mean, it's tough to get volunteers to do a lot of things, but we do a really good job. She gets them out. And the sponsorship, too, Tom Bibb Electric is a presenting sponsor this year for the Farmers Market, the Depot, and that's a big boost to downtown Main Street.
Yes, many thanks to them for sure. Well, Mayor Jordan, I know you got other things you want to do this morning, but I would talk to you for the whole day because you bring so much energy and so much positivity. Please give my best to your family. Give everybody an opportunity to say hello to you. You got folks coming circling around behind you already this morning wanting to see what you're doing, and I appreciate you taking some time with us. What else can I get you?
I have a gardening question.
Well, sure. I was going to say, else can I tell you today?
And this is from the audience. And what's the secret to growing zinnias? Is that right? Zinnias. What's the secret to growing zinnias?
Ooh, full sun and not too much fertilizer. That's the main thing. What we do when we fertilize them like we might fertilize something else, we end up with wimpy stems. So the thing you want to avoid with zinnias is wet soil and too much fertilizer. As long as you're in full sun, they're going to do good for you. That's one of the reasons you see so many of them at the market in cut flowers, is because they just do grow so beautifully. But it's true, you got to give them a little bit of help.
Well, good. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for the audience for that question.
Certainly. Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate you being here today. I know Gary has had to kind of pull you in there and get you where you needed to be so we could be seen together. And I'm telling you, we look great.
Look, you don't realize how much I appreciate you doing this for us.
The feeling is mutual, Mayor. I love coming to Tupelo with being with you. And I wish all of me was there, but at least I'm there in my voice.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it. Y'all have a wonderful time today. One of the things that we're always talking about in the farmers market world is who's the vendors and where are they and what are they doing? And I've got to tell you that this is a really wide array of different kinds of vendors. You've got everything from sweets to literally, fruits and nuts, just everything on this particular panel today. Lots and lots of crafty things. You can always count on coming to the farmer's market to find something you haven't seen before. It might be a vegetable, it might be a flower, it might be a handmade craft, it might be a person you hadn't run into in a couple of years. But that's why you go to the market. You may be doing your regular shopping, which is we appreciate and think is just brilliant, but you also have the opportunity anytime you're at a farmer's market to see what's going on in your community, to see who's there, to see who they're talking to and what they're doing, and to give yourself the opportunity to know more about actually ground level. We talk all the time nowadays about people being too much in their screens, looking at their stuff all the time. Well, you can find out a lot of stuff there. I'm not saying don't pay attention, but what I am saying is that unless you're also going out and seeing human beings, you're not doing yourself the favor that you should be doing. I'm really happy to tell you that there's a lot going on in every town, particularly on a Saturday morning at the farmers market. Something else that is also happening today in my world, and I know this sounds kind of funny. I don't know if you've ever had these before, but there are things that we are enjoying in the world of coming and going and seeing and looking. Do you remember when you used to have things that you'd order off, now depending on what year it is, might be the back of the cereal box, might be the back of a comic, might be the ad that you run into at 2 o'clock in the morning and just kind of punch on your phone nowadays and suddenly you've ordered something? Yeah, I've done that. Well, sea monkeys. Now, why in the world would anybody want, and what are sea monkeys? Today is sea monkey day. They were marketed originally as novelty pets, but they're actually brine shrimp. And because their eggs have the opportunity to be dehydrated and last for a very, very long time, they could be sold in packages and you put them in the water and they turned into little teeny brine shrimp. At that same time, we had, I guess they were scuba divers, but they were little plastic characters with flippers on their feet. And you put a baking soda mix in them and put them in the water and they floated to the top because they were propelled, okay? So we have all of these things that we think about, but my question is, why? Why do we do that? You got something you want to tell me about it? I would love to hear from you because I'm fascinated. I remember that people did that, and I know it was a thing. It just wasn't my thing, but it does have an awful lot of curiosity around it, and people's questions are always that sort of stuff. Mabel wanted to know this morning what kind of tomato fertilizer to use, and that's a really good question. My question is there, you want to mix it in the water, or do you want to put it in the pot or next to the plant in the ground? That's the only real difference, because there's a lot of things that'll say tomato food or vegetable garden food on them, and you can see either one of those is going to work. But if you want the one that is really what I think is the best one, I want you to go ahead and look for the one you mix in water, call tomato food at the garden center, mix it in the water, and use it every week. Okay? It's a tomato thing. Oh, my goodness. Good morning to Paula from Dentville. Beautiful, beautiful sunflowers. Hey, Jeff. Tomatoes are looking good, too. We're talking about lots of things today from the Tupelo Market. Now, listen, we got some more people to talk to, so you stick around. We'll be right back.
It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon. You wish would never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Like our original gold-rimmed bluebell homemade vanilla, the country's gold standard of ice cream flavors since 1969. Its hand-cranked taste takes you back to simpler times. That's why we put the word home right on the carton.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
Family Termite is a proud...
I'll tell you what now, this is a beautiful day to be at the farmer's market. Y'all welcome in. Thank you so much for being here on the Garden Mama Show. I appreciate you very, very much. We will be looking for, I think we're going to talk to Will Reed, huh? Yeah, in a minute. There he is. He's got carrots. There he is. You know, Native Son Farms is one of the places that I just really appreciate because it is not an easy thing to be a farmer, but it's also a delight to be able to talk to somebody who is. One of the things about Native Son Farms that I love so much, because y'all did the same thing I did. I'm going to tell you this. Good morning, Will Reed. Will Reed is a graduate of Humboldt State College, as is his beautiful wife. That's where they met. And frankly, it's a cool place. If you're thinking about going somewhere far off to go to school, that's a good choice. I had a chance to speak there a long time ago, and I got to know some folks from that area. But I didn't come back to Tupelo and start a farm. I got to tell you, Will, this is just amazing. You're just amazing. You amaze me every time, and your carrots are prettier than anything I'm ever going to see either. So thank you so much for joining me this morning. Native Son Farm, of course, is it's Will's baby, but it's also Amanda's baby. Y'all have done this together. When did y'all get started on all of this, and how did we get so lucky to have y'all come and farm back in your hometown? Hey, Will.
I'm trying to make sure I got my microphone on right.
You're
here.
You're good. You're good.
Thank you for those kind words. We started this as a project of youthful idealism. And so I was looking at a lot of the preventable health issues facing the state of Mississippi. And I thought that bringing an organic farm back to my hometown was a great way to try to combat some of those issues that the state of Mississippi faces.
Well, it's true. Not everyone in our state has access to fresh vegetables, and that makes a huge difference in all of the things that we try to deal with, everything from diabetes to heart disease to everything else that is compounded by our diet. There's a question always, how do you get people to do that? Well, you know, obviously you start with their kids, but on the other hand, you got to start with good food, and that's what you're growing.
That's exactly right.
Tell me what's happening at the farm. Y'all, how many acres and how many things and what different crops you're growing this year?
Sure. So we grow about 20 acres of vegetables in the field, and then we have about an acre of high tunnels, which are passive solar unheated greenhouses. And we also have our full-time year-round farm stand where we offer all kind of prepared meals from scratch made with our produce, sourdough breads. We act as a kind of a food hub, so we sell local meats, cheeses, dairy, and then, of course, all of our produce. It's a very busy time on the farm right now. The crop that has really been driving sales for the last 7 weeks is strawberries.
Yes.
Our strawberries have a huge following in North Mississippi, but also lots of greens right now. The carrots you mentioned, celery, salad mixes, starting to pick a lot of squash, zucchini, and cucumbers. We're starting to see the first heirloom tomatoes change color in the high tunnels right now, and it's just a really fun time of year.
People that don't know about high tunnels, I don't think I get to talk about them enough. The programs were brought to the South. They're not, you don't have to go through the Conservation Resource Service, but that is the National Conservation Resource Service has promoted this and made the education available to so many of us who are interested in just that little extra addition. In other words, the high tunnel is not a closed greenhouse, y'all. So y'all, he obviously Will knows all this, but I'm just going to tell you because I'm the teacher. It's a structure that is intended to give your plants a little bit of protection. So, for example, on a cut flower farm, it means they're not going to get beaten up by the wind, you know, if it gets windy or rainy the night before you're trying to harvest. The same thing applies to vegetables, but it actually, because the soil will be a little bit warmer, it gives you an earlier yield, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. And so most people don't realize that commercial vegetables we see in the supermarket are typically grown in irrigated deserts. And
that's
so the
true.
High tunnel kind of gives us that opportunity here in North Mississippi. We can control the volume of water. There's so much risk involved in commercial vegetable farming. The high tunnel helps remove some of that risk. So things like hailstorms, some of these big 4, 5, 6-inch rainstorms that we have. And then, as you mentioned, warmer soil temperatures and a little bit of protection against an untimely frost.
Ooh, so, yeah, that's got to help.
It definitely helps, and they are very low-tech structures, but they allow us to grow year-round. So the wintertime, we do lots of things like radishes and spinach, arugula. Mm-hmm. This time of year, tomatoes, cucumbers, celery, fennel, lots of salad greens. The produce also comes out much cleaner from the high tunnels because you don't have the soil splashing, you know, up on the tender mm-hmm. lettuces mm-hmm. and things like that.
Very, very smart to do it that way. Talk to me a little bit about your program. I know that you all, you know, I wrote a book called Organic Gardening Down South about 15 years ago, and trust me, it got panned in many places because I said every region has to make their own adaptations. And I'm not going to be, I'm very hardcore on it, but I am going to tell you that I never put anything like fire ant killer in the places I was growing food. But I did use them on my property, and that got me knocked off of everybody's list because they've never lived with fire ants. Now, that being said, y'all take every step, or is it, are y'all certified? Which thing do y'all do? But tell me about your growing. What do you fertilize with? How big is your compost heap? You know, all the things I love. You know?
Great questions. And so we have never certified organic with the USDA. So
you're so smart.
Not to knock that program, but
it's more complicated than it needs to be.
I believe it is more complicated mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. it needs to be. And it's really intended for farmers that don't have a direct relationship with their customers. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. our main certification is we're an open book, open door to people come out and see us. Mm-hmm. As far as the fertility that we use, we grow a cover crop in each field each year. And so a cover crop would be something that we're growing to give back to the soil. I know you know all this, but things in the summer that we would be growing, like are planted right now, would be buckwheat and sorghum sedan grass. In the winter, we grow lots of oats, clover, cereal rye, vetch. And then we used a bag organic fertilizer called Nature Safe that we mm-hmm. buy in bulk mm-hmm. out of Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And then we're using a suite of products that are really fantastic from a company called Advancing Eco Agriculture, or AEA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're really seeing, we started using those products about 3 years ago. And the first year that we used them, we kept our normal fertility regimen the same. And we broke almost every tomato stake that we had because the plant just grew so much bigger.
You outpowered yourself.
That's great. Yep. Weeds we deal with using a series of biodegradable plastic mulches, mm-hmm. organic mulches like wheat and rice straw. We use tractor cultivation, so just old-timey using steel to kill those weeds. And then still a decent amount of hand labor. So
I was going to say, this is why, this is why farmers had big families, you know, back in the day. Because
that's exactly
all those kids
right.
had to go out, feed the chickens and pull the weeds, you know, it's to get the chickens to pull some more weeds. It's all very, it all works together. In other words, I literally asked how large your compost pile is because I've never known anybody that was not growing from natural source, including myself, that didn't find it impossible to throw anything away. We have to compost almost everything.
That's exactly right. You know? Yes, you can see my head is freshly shaved and the scraps of hair went right on the compost pile.
Perfect. See, that's perfect. One of the questions that I think people ask this to me, and so I think it's probably important for me to ask you right quick is, how long can you do this? Is it sustainable? Y'all going to be here for 2 generations, 10 generations? What do you think?
We take it one day at a time. My wife, Amanda, and I have 5 children. They're the oldest is 13, the youngest is 4. The older children in particular are very involved in the business.
That's wonderful.
It's really great. We have
Do me a favor. We got to get out of here. I'd miss my clock. Hold up your carrots so everybody can see them quick.
Sure, I'd love to.
They're prettier than me. This is Will Reed. This is Native Son Farm, y'all. This is the Tupelo Farmers Market. Go see him. Stick around. I'll be back after the news.
At your business, having a mobile-friendly website can really help you win new customers. Let SuperTalk Mississippi Media create a great-looking and very affordable website for your business. Plus, studies suggest that a well-written radio ad can lead to a 20% lift in traffic to your website. Just call SuperTalk Mississippi Media today at 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com.
Planning a home improvement project? Don't let your dream renovation become a nightmare. Before you hire any contractor, remember these 3 essential steps. Ask to see their current state license, check their insurance coverage, and always get at least 3 written estimates. Visit msboc.us to verify credentials and review complaints. Your home deserves a licensed professional because when it comes to construction, cutting corners could cost you everything. Call the Mississippi State Board of Contractors or go to msboc.us to learn more. A message from the Mississippi.
Hey, this is Bob. Just walked. Excellent.
You know, excellent. I mean, come on. There is nobody having more fun than me because I get to be here with all of y'all, and that's really the best. That's the highlight of any Saturday. The market in Tupelo is really what I look at in terms of a representative sampling of everything that anybody does up there.
Man, Will's cool, yeah. Isn't he?
Look, seriously, around here, you've got people with big families, you've got people that are single guitar players, you've got, you know what I mean? You can literally cross the bridge in Tupelo and find somebody that you're going to get to be able to get along with and relate to and have a good time with. What's fun. I love Tupelo.
Lived up here 21 years. I mean, come on. I absolutely love the area. I love Tupelo. For a long time, you went to Tupelo to get stuff because Oxford really had not kind of blossomed at the point it has
That's
now.
True.
Tupelo is just a beautiful place full of wonderful people. Great shout out to Will. I was extremely impressed with his comfort and calmness and confidence in growing, you know, a product that you got to get to market. That's not an easy thing to do.
It's hard. It's very hard.
Gracious.
It's very hard. The enthusiasm, the optimism, the abundance, and the serious sense of mission that Native Son Farms gives to the rest of us is an example to be followed. It absolutely is. They're fun. They're a good time. And then, as I say, we get to talk to another vendor this hour. I'm happy to tell you that one of the flowers that you're seeing at supertalk.tv today, it's Gloriosa Lily. Now, Gloriosa Lily is a vine. You say to yourself, but lilies don't grow on vines. Yes, they do. This one does, but it's the only one. That's why a lot of us in the world of plant loving think that it is so spiffy. It's very cool, and it gives us the opportunity to see something that we don't see much of the time, which is a lily growing on a vine. It's really pretty. There's a gardener that I follow who's got hundreds of them, and it's you can't hardly see one flower if you have a picture of hundreds of them because it just looks like sort of a tie-dyed mass, you know, yellows and reds and stuff. But we have one that's the flower itself, and it really looks pretty. It's lovely. Another lily as well, another Asiatic lily blooming, the white one with the deep green center. And that's a sweet one too. That's a very good, very fun one. Now, I've got to tell you, there's some things that you just don't think about plants Oh, now see, now here come the pictures. If y'all are not with me, you got to tune in to supertalk.tv. I told you there was cut flowers. These are beautiful. This has got sunflowers. We've got ami. We've got zinnias. Oh, this is a beautiful, beautiful, lovely, lovely arrangements, bouquets. And of course, because like at all the farmers markets, they're going to be in a small container that also is what you buy. So you literally pick up the bouquet, pay for it, and carry it home, put it on the table. You're ready to go. Maybe you're going by to visit somebody. Get a chance to do that, too. Connie's Chicken is there in Tupelo. That's a fun group of people. Fun group of people. Delicious food. But anyway, there's so many things that we have the opportunity to talk about from Tupelo. I knew that they had at least two a month. I didn't realize that there were buses of Elvis fans every week. But that does tell you that the city is taking good care of their visitors, because trust me, those buses aren't going to come back if nobody has a good time. All right, what do we got here? Oh, the Tom Bigbee Electric Power Association. Hey, now that's cool. They want you to connect to their Wi-Fi right now. So go see them over there if you want to do that. And of course, there's a lot of pesticide-free and locally grown and this and that. Everybody's getting to understand what words we want, what buzzwords we're looking for, what concepts we want to see people practicing. So that's really great. That's wonderful stuff. How about some hidden math, y'all? I had no idea. Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory is letting us know about that. Chinese money plant leaves are different than from others. I told you there was baked goods. Now we're looking at Lola's Homestead. One of the things that I'm intrigued about, y'all know that, let's face it, if you're lucky enough to live to a certain age, you have to start dealing with your health in ways that you didn't have to before. And one of them is I'm supposed to eat more fermented stuff. So, sourdough bread. Hello. I love it anyway. Now it's a good reason to specialize. So I see that at the table at Lola's. Now they've got peaches and squash and those strawberries. Oh my goodness. It's so hard to grow strawberries. I'm so happy that Native Sun is doing that. And anybody else who can manage to grow them. Oh, look, we got people seeing what we're doing. Hey, y'all. We'll wave to them. They're wondering, what is that guy doing up there? Well, that's because we have the opportunity to talk to you from the Tupelo Farmers Market. Now, they've got a giveaway today. There's the farmers market and Coca-Cola are giving this away. You got to fill out your little form. It's a very cool cooler, as well as some great swag from the farmers market. It looks like a box of peaches too, so I'm all for that. Give yourself the chance to go over and register at that table while you're at the Tupelo market this morning. It is open from 8 until 12, and it'll be there every Saturday. So that's really fun. This whole thing about, we've always talked about the stomata on a leaf being the pores of it. In other words, that's how it breathes. While we tell you to be very judicious in your use of spray-on products to brighten up or shine up your leaves, the same thing is true. Sometimes we're told to wash our leaves with milk in order to get the dust and stuff off of them. But you have to follow that with water, because otherwise you're clogging up their pores, okay? So in the case of the Chinese money plant, it is a mathematical amazement. The Voronoi diagram, which is it's a naturally occurring geometric pattern, but we didn't realize it was in there. The way that we found it, though, is by mapping those pores, by mapping the stomata and the looping veins that go with them, of course, in the plant's leaves. The plant organizes itself using the same kind of spatial logic that humans use to solve complex distance problems. In other words, those word problems that I hated in math, yeah, that's what the plant can do better than me, probably. Everything in nature is related. Everything in nature comes together. Everything in nature teaches you something about something else, if you just pay attention. And I'm really happy to say that these folks have been paying attention. You're not going to get the money plant to go measure something. That's not going to happen. But we can measure based on its own composition to understand where it came from and how it got there. These are all things that have tremendous implications, of course, because they give all of us as scientists or as scientists and people who are paying attention to the product, the money plant itself gives it a different interest, gives you something else to study, something else to enjoy about it besides the fact that it's a beautiful plant. So I think that's very, very cool. Very wonderful. We're looking at so many cool things in the world of science at this time of year. You would think maybe that the mosquitoes would be fewer. You know, you hear about the no-see-ums out west, but you don't hear so much about mosquitoes. And yet, we have... Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what I did. I'm trying to move it back. I'm sorry. I moved my screen. I didn't realize it was going to do that. I'll get it back in a second. But my idea of telling you about this is because it turns out that the artificial light at night in cities like Las Vegas does give mosquitoes something to aim towards. As we have said, the mosquitoes are not looking for that as an attractor the way termites do. They're looking at it as a navigator so that their flight control can be in that situation. And that's kind of cool. That gives us all the opportunity to pay attention a little bit more to those cities. And when they begin to get mosquitoes, you know that they've begun getting directed towards them. Okay? One of the questions that I always have is, how do the mosquitoes ever get there? And so another study is telling us that the mosquitoes in their swarm sometimes attach themselves to other things. And so that's part of the problem. That's why we end up with them in so many places, is because there are more of them being caught up in the winds and taken someplace else. If you get to Vegas, for example, in maybe a cold drink cup or something else that has a little bit of water in it, doesn't matter how dry the environment is, that mosquito is going to multiply. And when that mosquito multiplies, it's going to find someplace else to go and live. So that's how that all works. It's an interesting thing to consider. I'm tickled by it. I'm glad that we're paying more attention. It used to be thought, you know, that once we got rid of the biggest problems of malaria, once we understood how to cope with it, that the mosquitoes would not be such a problem. They're a terrible problem. They bring other diseases to us, and frankly, they can spoil that evening out in the garden or just taking a walk. So I'm glad that we're paying more attention to them. Something else that you might not have heard about, maybe you didn't hear about it. A lot of people don't really see too much about these things. But something, as they say, startling is happening in the Gulf of Mexico. The waters in the Gulf of Mexico, I hate to tell y'all this, are heating up twice as fast as those out in the global oceans. Now, there are many reasons that can be attributed to. One is just that there are smaller areas and more contained. You know, it is kind of a big curve, but it is a curved area with land on two sides of it when you get into the Gulf of Mexico. So you have it's a different thing. It's a different world. So what we're hoping to find out is that in 2012 is when this began, the rising trajectory of temperature of the ocean. It's why, it's the same principle, I guess, as why there are more, for example, jellyfish at certain times of the year than there are at others off the waters of Gulfport and Biloxi, for example. Sometimes it has to do with the temperature of the ocean, and in some cases it has to do with the temperature of the ocean other places. So those are things that the scientists are watching now to see what creatures are there, what creatures are coming in bigger numbers, and which ones are in smaller ones, because obviously we need something that can tell us how much it's going to make a difference to the environment. We know, of course, that warmer water makes the hurricane the hurricane potential much greater, and that's a problem. It increases by about 5% per degree in terms of the danger of the hurricane. So we don't have a specific piece of this, but we do know that the waters have warmed by 3% per decade. So that gives us a more difficult thing to maneuver into damage in terms of understanding the damage, because there is in fact a difference every year. So it's harder to do that. It equates, though, they tell us, and these are the folks at the Yale Climate Connection, so it's not, you know, this isn't just me making up stuff. The stronger winds that are allowed then cause more destruction, and this of course is about 30% increase per decade. And that's very difficult. That's why they call it startling. But others of us may have another word for it. And It would be something I probably shouldn't say on the radio, but it is a bit scary. Now, meanwhile, if we go out to the Pacific, we're looking at the second warmest of any April on record in terms of the temperatures of the sea surface. Now, we're not getting, these are all surface ones that we're doing. Live Science wants you to know that this particularly tells us that we have an El Nino emerging. Now, that's, why is that? Well, and because El Nino is that the warm phase of the multi-year natural cycle, okay? It increases with the temperatures around us, and that's part of what happens. They don't ever know because things can change, but it's about a 25% increase in the chance for a really serious El Nino in the coming year. Once again, hey Lance, we got your European Union's Copernicus climate change. You're following the European models.
Oh yeah, love that model.
So you're with me on this one. The sea surfaces in April have translated to El Nino conditions. You know, they're telling us that that's how we get there. So the extrapolar global ocean, I love that term. This includes everybody except for the icy Arctic and Antarctic. Surface temperatures were the highest for any record on April. And that, of course, goes back many, many years. We've been measuring this for a long time. The last time we did this was 23 to 24, an El Nino. And so we have to see whether or not 26 into 27 is going to do the same thing.
You know, I have a question for you regarding the El Nino, La Nina cycle. I remember as a kid, you never heard about it. And then all of a sudden, I must have been like in my late teens, you heard about El Nino, you know, mm-hmm. and it was a big mm-hmm. storm. And it seemed like it was very cyclical, like it came every 10 years. Is that happening more regular now with the warming of the oceans?
Yes. The situation is increased by the warming temperatures in the ocean surfaces. And that cycle, you're right, in my recollection at least, it was also about a 10-year cycle. And we'd have two or three years of one thing and then nothing and then two or three years of the other thing, but then it didn't ever run into itself like it's doing now. They weren't able to predict it as well because we didn't pay attention. We saw it when it happened, when it came. It's like anything else. It's like the first person who realized that we had blackberry winter, you know, we had that freeze after everything had flowered. Somebody had to give it a name and somebody had to pay attention to it. And so at some point, the El Nino, La Nina phenomenon became something that we frankly could measure. We didn't always have the meteorological equipment to do that. We didn't know what was coming. You know, we couldn't look far enough out into the horizon. And now they're able to do that. I think partly because of the satellites, but also because we have a better system of trying to measure the actual temperatures in the oceans. So that's part of that. Randy in Starkville. That's cool. That's really cool. Beautiful zippy crimsons. That's lovely. I'm so glad. They are. I saw a picture yesterday of what I felt like was a gang of hummingbirds beating up on another hummingbird. I think that one must have gotten to the feeder first because they were all right around a feeder, but there were three of them taking on this one dude. I don't know about that, you know. Oh, let's see. Anne in Memphis has a question about her rose bush, and I'm trying to see what it might be. I'm going to see if I can pull up a leaf issue or something here. You've got a little bit of what looks like rose rust, but it also looks like it might be a sunburn. So if the area is in full sun and either got too much rain so the plant couldn't take up the water, or it didn't get any rain because it's been very, very dry. We've got both extremes happening in Memphis as well as in Mississippi. So I'm going to say this is a point where all you have to do is cut back the parts that are damaged, give it a little fertilizer, and you will look for rebloom on this, which looks to me like a knockout rose. It might be Martha Gonzalez, but I don't know for sure about that. The leaves look more knockout-ish. But just cut back the part that's damaged. And if the damage should return, of course, obviously when you do this, you're going to be looking to see if there's any bugs or any other problems that you can't see because the rose is so thick. But when you cut it back, you'll be able to see some of that. And I want you to look for it, but I also want you to understand that these are the roses that a lot of stuff can happen to, and they're just going to come right back again. So thank you for sending that to me. I appreciate it. It's really hard for me to ever say no to a rose. So thanks for sending that to me today. So much going on. I see that you've got, yes, you're here. Nobody's missing. We're all here. I'm going to tell you, we're going to come back here in just a moment and talk to what I believe is Trockard Hughes from the KQ Garden. We're going to speak to them and be have our opportunity to talk to you. This is the Garden Mama Show.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon, you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Like our original gold-rimmed bluebell homemade vanilla, the country's gold standard of ice cream flavors since 1969. Its hand-cranked taste takes you back to simpler times. That's why we put the word home right on the carton.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
When disasters hit,
Tupelo, Mississippi. Thank you so much for being here with the Garden Mama Show and the market today. This is just a beautiful morning in Tupelo as well as here. What you're watching right now is the technicalities of this program. Gary is being a wonderful, as always, the best that there is at road producing. And he's going to get us hooked up here in just a second with another one of the growers from the market here this morning. Oh, there you are. Good morning. Thank you so much. Now, tell me if am I saying this right? Trockard? Is that the right
Trockard
way to pronounce? Okay, I did good.
Yes,
Trockard.
Ma'am.
Thank you so much. Now, tell me about your market. Trockard Hughes, of course, is one of the vendors here at the market in Tupelo. And I've got to tell you, this is the best market. Y'all have got everything going on. So I'm really happy to tell you. I love that. We've moved the camera down so they can see your shirt. K-Cute is the name of your garden and the market that you have. Talk to us a little bit, please, Trockard, about Tupelo and your market and what y'all are up to.
So, yeah, I'm very privileged to be here at the farmer's market at the depot. And I'm representing Cute Market Garden. That name was inspired by my girls who are essential to our market setup. We've just got a backyard garden at our house here in Tupelo. Unfortunately, I've got some chronic back pains and different health challenges. So I've had really no choice but to start a garden because I need to eat clean.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great growers here who have really taught me a lot and helped me to become a better grower. Even though I'm small scale, they still have invested into me, giving me a chance, and I think it's working out pretty good.
What do you have to offer at the market today?
So today we have our sought after baked goods, which you can only find here at our booth. We've got kamut bread, which is a cornbread alternative. Mm-hmm. We've got vegan banana bread.
Oh, good.
We've also got gluten-free, dairy-free almond butter cookies. And then we've got our most popular, which is honey dandelion cookies.
Oh, now my mouth is watering. Now my mouth is watering. You know, that's really, you're telling us exactly what people are struggling with. How do I eat smarter? How do I take better care of myself and my girls, my family? How do I do that? And exactly what you're saying, start right here, start where you are and get going. People you really will find out, as you have, that there is so much support. I teach cut flower growing, and one of the things that we say in that applies to vegetables is you can plant a row, you can plant a yard, you can plant 2 acres, you know, whatever you're doing, the growing is the same. It's just a matter of what you're going to do and what you're going to do with it when you get it all grown. You also mentioned your own, I mean, obviously I'm in health compromise, but I'm 100 years old. But everybody has health compromises along the way. And one of the things that gardening and that small-scale farming gives us is the opportunity to take the time to make stuff work. And sometimes it's even good for us.
Yeah, it is. It really does help. Being outside, working with family. It's been very therapeutic for me because I came off of a lot of prescriptions, and I remember having to take, you know, trips to the ER for pain treatments, and now I'm going into the garden to get herbs. So that works a lot better for me, and I get to share that knowledge with others.
Well, and that's that firsthand knowledge and that firsthand willingness to share with other folks is really what sets you apart. Because not everybody, a lot of people feel like, well, no, nobody's going to listen to me, you know. And I have had that in my life. I'm one of those people that grew up, Troquad, you don't have any reason to know this, but I was the kid that stared at the floor and never spoke above a whisper. So for me to learn how to talk in public was pretty hard stuff, but it is one of the things I'm so glad I did. As my dad said, you know, they never going to know what you know if you don't. And I took that and held on to it. So I know you're inspiring your daughters in that same kind of way to take their place in the world. And frankly, in the garden is where it all starts. It really does. I talk all the time about, I learned to garden from my grandfather. He worked all night as a dispatcher for trains. And when he come home, he'd have breakfast and then go out in the garden before he went to sleep. And I was the loud kid, so they were always trying to get me outside to go do something. So that's how I ended up in the garden. So I'm sure in every group of children, there's at least one that spends more time outside because that's the thing, you know. So I'm glad to know that we share that quality.
Yeah, and that's funny. With me, it was with my dad. Mm-hmm, I watched him do it. Mm-hmm. My dad gardened, and I saw that at 3 years old, and I was like, man, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And it eventually happened for me, just not the way I planned.
Well, as they say, life throws us stuff. It's what we do with it. You know, it's whether or not we can get the bat on the ball as to whether or not it makes any difference. So obviously you're doing that. Talk to me about what you've got planted right now and what you're growing in the summer garden.
So right now we've got squash and we've got zucchini. We've got tomatoes, we've got some peppers. Hopefully I can come in with some super hot peppers for those who dare. I can't say I'm going to participate, but I've got some basil. We've got plenty of mints, lemon balm, bee balm. Yeah, a lot of different herbs, rosemary, French tarragon. That's one I'm really happy to mention that I have, because this
hard.
Has not been easy establishing.
No, that's hard. I'm glad you're doing that, because it is hard. Tupelo's about as far south as that thing can get a real comfortable stand, you know, so I think that's wonderful. Where I am further south from you, it's so humid, the tarragon wilts and puts its hand up, you know. You know.
I've had that issue.
You've got something, yeah. You've got the right environment for it. Another thing that everybody wants to always ask a farmer about is what's next. If you were going to do something else, I know y'all do baked goods, and you obviously are exploring all sorts of other things. Do you grow things like wasabi? What else are you going to grow?
It's funny you mentioned that. I've had some wasabi seeds for maybe too long now, and I just have not made it around to trying them. But I definitely want to push the envelope on my herbs. And then there's also some niche crops that I'm attempting to establish. Like, for instance, edible roses. We do edible flowers.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most people have never experienced edible roses. Mm-hmm. That's something you'd expect in a Michelin star restaurant.
You're right.
It's not something you'd expect at your local farmer's market. So we have some plants established, and we're working on providing them the proper nutrition. Because, by the way, we don't use chemical fertilizers or chemical herbicides. Nothing against anyone who does. But for me, my body's really sensitive to things like that. Mm-hmm. So I've worked really hard to keep all synthetics out of our garden. So it creates another challenge because, you know, the bugs, they kind of like to come in and see what they can get too.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to battle them.
sometimes we have to share a little bit, but not too much, you know. You're right. I grew up in a world of natural source production, but that's, my grandfather had a compost heap, and that's essentially what we used. But when I went to college, I learned how to do all the other things, and really, I love them all, but I truly did find out why I like the other way better. So I've been a sustainable grower all of my career, as I was saying to a few minutes ago, except for fire ants, I've managed to do everything without, but I do occasionally have a fire ant problem, not in the area where I'm going to eat something, but, you know, because I can run them out into the lawn, which is one of those things. People say, how did you do that? Well, you do it with blood meal. You get a bag of blood meal and dump it on the fire ant mound. They're going to go somewhere else, but they're going to go away from where they are, and the nitrogen in the blood meal isn't going to hurt anybody. It's just going to feed that space. And then you get to, you know, get off into the, let the, go over there so you can control them over yonder. But it has made such a difference in the way the food tastes.
Yes.
Food, not, it's local, it's closer to home, but it's also fed better. And so I really applaud you doing that. I'm so happy that you are. I know it's better for the plants. I know it's better for the food. And I'm pretty sure it's better for you, too. I'm not a doctor. I can't say so, but you look like it's working.
I think it is, too. And it's funny, I didn't expect to be in class here on Garden Mama, but you taught me two things in the past 3 minutes. I didn't know we were on the edge of French tarragon territory, and I also didn't know about the blood meal for the ants, so I really appreciate you for that.
Well, it's, you know, you do stuff long enough, you don't even know where you learned it, but it is things that I'm happy to say, I don't know a lot of stuff, but I know about plants. I can't talk about physics. I can't really talk about chemistry or any of those other pieces of the puzzle. But I know what the plants react. And by now, I've pretty much grown most of them. So I really am thrilled to get a chance to meet you today, Troquat. This is Troquat Hughes, y'all, the Cute Market. I'm really tickled that y'all are there. I love finding out. They knew exactly who to send to me to talk because you and I have so much in common and share such a vision.
Well,
for
you
our,
also
our
need to, y'all need to keep in touch because you do know physics. Max, he doesn't understand the Max Planck Institute that we and all
not
the
at
fun
all.
Stuff. Yeah, Troquat, you need to tune in more often because we always have some fun stuff.
I'm a nerd. I can't help it.
Me too. So that's another connection.
That's another
both
place
nerds.
We come together, you know, so we can keep it together. That's just delightful. I trust that we will be in touch for a long time. You'll be there at the market each Saturday when anybody wants to come and see you and see what y'all are growing. Get to meet Troquat Hughes from Cute Market, y'all. Y'all are going to be glad you did. Let this man share his story with you, because quite frankly, if you haven't faced back problems, if you haven't faced making some changes, you will at some point in your life. Everybody's got to make a change at some point to something. And when you do, it's good to have people to look to get the knowledge from. So I appreciate you. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for being here. I'll let you get back to your stand. And we will stay in touch. Somebody will get me your phone number. And I'll, you know, I'm the queen of texting. I don't phone call very much, but I am the queen of texting. So we will get in touch. Oh, my goodness. How much fun is that? Y'all, we have another horse race today, Lance, that I didn't remember. We're not going to have a triple crown this time, though.
Okay.
The Preakness is today, but the amazing one from the Kentucky Derby is not going to be running, so it'll just be another fun. I love seeing a race, people, horses, whatever it is, when somebody comes from way behind, that's a lot of fun because you got to know what a absolute freak out that is for everybody.
There's
there.
A new documentary on Netflix about the horse world. It is absolutely, and it was more like the training side of it, right?
Ooh, yeah.
And I think it's called The Shooting at Hawthorne Hill.
Oh, my goodness.
I learned so much in an hour and a half of that documentary.
See?
Like the horse world and how, you know, how tight-knit it really is.
It is.
And
you're right.
Unbelievable creatures, though. Goodness gracious. What the time and effort, the expense that goes into taking care of them, it kind of reminds you of a garden.
Well, it is a thing. It's something that you take care of that gives back a lot to you, but it is not without responsibility.
Magnificent creatures, too.
That is for sure. My sister, you know, some people say you should have a dog. It'll make you, you know, get out and take the dog for a walk, and you'll be busy and all that sort of stuff. My sister has a horse. My sister's had a horse since I was a baby. Okay, she's always, not the same one, but she's always had a horse because that's where she gets her exercise, her outside, her quite frankly, get up in the morning, go see what's going on, because you got to go take care of your animal. And indeed, they have a great deal of affection and a great deal of love for their humans, and that's delightful.
Are you now, given that the Preakness is running today, the best odds seem to be on Taj Mahal. Now, okay. Given that we're a fan of Taj Mahal, the artist, I think I'm going to be pulling for Taj Mahal, the horse, today.
I'm going there.
There are some good names, though, in there. Chip Honcho, like that. Iron Honor, Napoleon Solo.
Oh, that's nice.
Napoleon Solo, that's from The
Wait
Man from Uncle.
Wait
the
a
Man
minute.
From Uncle.
It
yeah.
sure is. Robert Vaughn.
Yes, Corona. Yeah. Corona de Oro, I like that. Incredibolt is back. Great White. Pretty Boy Mia. Robusta. Talking.
Come on.
And the hell we did.
They used to have names like Terrence.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Now they're like.
Yeah. Well, Chip Honcho and Taj Mahal are both 5-1 odds, with Ocelli is at 6-1. So.
I like that.
Yeah.
Like that.
Incredibolt also at 5-1 odds. Full Field of 14. And it is the, what did I read there? The 151st running of the Preakness Stakes.
Ooh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, there's no hats. It's not that kind of place.
A lot of horses, no hats.
I wanted to tell Amanda from Pike County that her Bishop Flowers, the Ami that I was talking about before, her plants are beautiful. And what I'm stealing the picture, by the way.
That to be my backyard.
Yeah, truly. But if you like Queen Anne's lace, you like the way it looks in things, and you want that cut flower, grow Ami, A-M-M-I. It's also known as Bishop's Flower, and it is one that you can sow a couple of times during the summer, and it will make that beautiful cut flower. I love that it doesn't really look like a bishop's hat. It's one of those things that somebody had to squint really hard to call it Bishop's Flower, but the idea is that it is one that, because it has a curved top, it's going to provide a little sanctuary. It's a very sweet place. Okay? Oh, by the way, it's National Barbecue Day. I want to say thanks so much to my friends. This song's for you, Tupelo. We'll be right back.
I love the deep blue sea because she's that sweet and Tupelo, honey. Yes, you are. She's an angel of the first degree. She's an angel. Oh, she's the sweetest Tupelo, honey.
Thinking about that big home project? In Mississippi, the law requires a licensed contractor for residential projects, including new home construction over $50,000, home remodeling or improvements, including roofing over $10,000. All subcontractors performing residential, electrical, plumbing, or HVAC work on new home construction projects over $50,000 or home improvement projects over $10,000. Don't risk your investment. Visit msboc.us to verify a contractor's license today. A message from the Mississippi State Board of Contractors.
I'm Commissioner Sean Tindall with the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Too many lives are lost because someone chose not to wear a seatbelt. That's why law enforcement across Mississippi is increasing patrols and cracking down on violations. If you're not buckled up, you will be stopped and you will be ticketed. No warnings, no excuses, click it or ticket. From all of us at the Mississippi Department of Public Safety, buckle up, Mississippi. Every trip, every time.
If you're overwhelmed,
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be bright.
Yes, indeed it is. A very bright and shiny day. Mike is asking a question about his squash. I want to hit that right quick before we talk to Lucia. Yes, there is such a thing as blossom end rot on squash. It's usually a problem with the first squash, but it is related in the same way as on tomatoes to calcium lack and to a water, too much water one day and too little the next. So just cut off the part that's damaged. The squash is still fine to eat. But be aware that it is an early season problem and you probably won't have it again. Okay? Okay. Now, welcome back. This is the Tupelo Farmers Market. Lucia Randall, we talked before, I think, last year. I believe we were on air, but I know we talked from Main Street Tupelo. How much fun is this day for you? All of the plans that go into putting this market together have really blossomed for you today. Thank you for coming and spending some time with me.
Oh, it is my pleasure and honor for you to join us at the market today. And it's Lucia. It's Lucia. Thank you. We have planned so hard for this. It's almost like having an event weekly, you know, because
really,
we have to make
it. It is.
It truly is. You know, in the Main Street world, we do events all the time, but when you have one of this magnitude every week, and I want to make sure every stall is full, every table is full. So that's lots of phone calls, lots of follow-ups and things like that. We have a terrific staff. We have a terrific team in Tupelo working with Mayor Jordan, administration, all the departments in the city. Everybody comes together to make this happen, actually. I mean, we have to have market cleaned every week, bathrooms, you know, we have bathrooms and things like that. So it truly is a Team Tupelo effort.
The logistics of it all, y'all have an event tonight. You know
we
what I mean?
Certainly
so,
do.
So for those of us who might think, oh, well, they just, you know, you're not going to have a beautiful place like this and not put it to work. So
right.
I know that it takes a lot of maintenance to keep it going. And that's really, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge deal. I appreciate that. I know it's a lot of volunteers, but your staff also has got to be working double
Ooh.
Time.
You know? They are. It's a very small staff. You know, we only have three. And so Jessica and Craig and myself, and we work very hard, but everybody has got their scope of work and they do it well. So
over the years, it has been my great pleasure to watch y'all with the market and everything else that goes on. You know, I've been on the bandstand on the side for the Elvis mm-hmm. festivals and stuff
yes.
at different times, you know,
mm-hmm.
and y'all always have people in a positive mood. People having, if they got a problem, here's how we're going to fix it. I mean, y'all are just absolutely unbeatable when it comes to all of this, which is frankly more than anybody might have expected when they read their job description. So I appreciate
That's
it very
exactly
much.
That's exactly right. Well, we like to say that Tupelo, I know our partners with Tupelo CVB call Tupelo the center of positivity. And that's what we try to do with every
very
event
true.
That we do, that with every project, everything that we put effort into, we're the center. Center of positivity.
It really does spread mm-hmm. too. Tell me what else is going on this summer for y'all.
We will be having market every Saturday morning from now until October the 3rd. October the 3rd is the last day. But the big thing that's coming up in just about 3 weeks is the Tupelo Elvis Festival. You know, that's a big one.
It is.
And we will have lots of visitors in town, and we've been working not only on getting this market up and going for up and ready for opening day, but we've been working on Elvis as well. So the festival's coming up. We've got a lot of activities associated with that. And after Elvis, we have a little lull. We just keep doing the market, you
Take
know.
A deep
but
breath.
Then, that's right. But then, you know, then we get into. You know, we have Downtown Tupelo Ale Trail. We have Family Fun Day. We have the Downtown Tupelo Chili Fest. We have...
Which, by the way, y'all, is a big draw.
It is a big one.
Let me just tell you. You hear about that one, you know.
Right. And you know, just lots happening in the fall. And then we get into, of course, the Christmas Parade, which is the longest Tupelo holiday tradition. And I'm trying to think what year. I should know that. But it's a lot of years.
Yeah, a lot of years.
And Reed's, which is, 125 years mm-hmm, old, they're mm-hmm. our sponsor. Almost like Macy's is the sponsor of the Thanksgiving
right,
parade.
Right.
Reed's is our Reed sponsor of the
that.
Christmas parade. That's right. And then we get into the big New Year's Eve party. That's
How
a big
fun.
One. Yeah.
And then it's time to start planning the market again. So
that's
boom,
right.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'll tell you, Reed's has always been real nice to all of us who are mm-hmm. authors and bring our books to Tupelo. So they've been there a long time, too. I'm glad that they're the parade
that's
folks.
That's right.
So it makes a lot of sense.
Jack and his family and staff are terrific.
It's another piece of that puzzle. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to tell you that even buying gasoline or checking into a hotel in Tupelo, you're going to have somebody with a smile on their face.
Absolutely.
And I'm not. I mean, I'm really not making that up. I've been there under every kind of rain, pouring down rain, burning hot, freezing cold. Doesn't matter. They're going to say, come on in. Come on in. It's Tupelo. Right. Y'all come on in. And I think that makes a big difference for us as visitors, but it's got to make a big difference to y'all who live there. It's just such a pleasant place to wake up every morning.
We like to think so. I tell you the secret to success of Tupelo, and that is that the Tupelo spirit, that is being cooperative, working together. Any challenge that comes up, whether it is something Main Street is doing, the city is doing, any other kind of entity, you know, what do we need to do together to deal with this challenge? I think it's just working together. Mm-hmm. I really do. And we have seen it time after time again with challenges with tornadoes and things like that. We just work together so well, and we're very blessed that we live in a community that works so well together.
I hope everyone is listening to you in other places, because that kind of cooperation is really what makes the whole business go better. It's not just one. As the mayor, I told the mayor when I was talking to him this morning, he always says we, they, us. You know, it's
that's
it's,
exactly
he doesn't
right.
Say I, and there is no I in Tupelo. So
there is no I in Tupelo. That's very, very good. I love that.
You know, that's
I've
how
always.
Impressed me.
When everyone is pulling in the same direction, you can do remarkable things. And this beautiful facility, this quality of life facility that we're able to offer our community, that is a result of everyone working together.
It mm-hmm. really is one of a kind. It is. It's mm-hmm. a really. It's particularly special for me to come and be able to see y'all just keep going, keep doing, keep. You know, y'all keep. Y'all have always made everything a little bit more fun for the city. And now the mayor tells me y'all are going to go on and move again and get some more, not the market, but move your Elvis things and get all those things together. So we have even more to look forward to. I want to just say, I know we're going to get out of here in just a second, but I wanted to say thank you so very, very much for having us here today, and also for everything that you do. And for those of you who've never been to the Elvis Festival, book your tickets now.
Yes, please. We'd love to have you.
I think you'll have a good time.
You need to experience Tupelo. It's a wonderful place.
It's a wonderful place to be, and a great bunch of people to visit with. And I have to say, I grew up as a little kid with my ear on the door. My sister played Elvis records with her friends, and they wouldn't let me in the room because I was too young. And I'm sure they were dancing and wiggling their hips or whatever they were doing. But that was my first introduction, and I have loved that music ever since.
Oh,
so I had the opportunity to come to see y'all at that once, and it was a lot of fun. It was really a great deal. Thank you so much for the hard work y'all do on this market, Lucia, I'm sorry. I'll get
That's
it right.
That's okay. That's all right. I get it all the time.
It's a hard one. And uh-huh. I get called Nell, even though my name is Nellie. Yeah. So I understand that it hits us, but everybody else just knows who we are. So they
no worries. You know,
They just smile at us.
Right.
I do have to say, though, I can't see how y'all can get any bigger, get any larger, but I know you will. I know you absolutely will.
Absolutely. We're always looking to the next thing.
That's right.
How can we do it better?
Thank you. Thank you. And I love your baseball shirt, and I look forward to seeing
you
again. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Thanks, y'all. The Tupelo Farmers Market has been such a blast this morning. Such a very, very good time. Remember this particularly, friends. And we're gone.
Think of Mississippi Land Bank. For generations, we've helped people finance the land in North Mississippi that they've always dreamed of owning, whether for hunting or fishing or just to get away. We mean it when we say we're here for you every step of the way, because our lenders are landowners, hunters, and fishermen too. Visit us today at mslandbank.com. That's mslandbank.com.
I'm Commissioner Sean Tindall from the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Did you know that every time you get behind the wheel, one simple decision can save your life? Wearing your seatbelt takes just a second, but it can make all the difference in a crash. Law enforcement from across Mississippi are stepping up patrols and watching closely. If you're not buckled up, you will be stopped and you will be ticketed. No excuses, no warning. Click it or ticket, Mississippi.
At Fillmore Buick GMC.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.